Well, good afternoon. It is a joy for me to be able to open God's living word with you. And so if you have your bulletins or you have your Bibles with you, the text that we're going to be looking at this afternoon is from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. So if you turn over from the hymn we just sang, if you have that same bulletin, the very next page, it will give you our reading from God's word. We're going to read there the first 9 verses of our chapter. It says there, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?' Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them." And I would draw your attention to the bolded verse there, verse 8. That is our text for this afternoon. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our world is constantly changing. Martin's already made mention of that. But would you agree with that statement? I imagine for many of you, as I look out here, you can remember life before the internet, life before the home computer. If we move forward a little more of you can likely remember life before that smartphone that's in your pocket. But change isn't only something that we see in technology. Change happens in so many areas of our lives. We see change all over the map. Nations continually rising and falling in influence. We see changes in industry. We see changes in interest rates. We see changes in social concerns. We see changes in the moral fabric of our nation. Things that were once considered wrong are now celebrated as right. Canada is changing. Nova Scotia is changing. And then, of course, we are also changing. And so I can say it again, our world is constantly changing. And it feels like it's moving faster and faster. Does all that change leave you feeling overwhelmed? Do you have a deep sense that things aren't quite the way they should be? Where are you looking for your stability today? Is it to your bank account? Is it in your friends and your family? Many people have discovered to their sorrow that a fortune is easily lost. Even family and friends can leave and fail us. But in a changing world, there is one who never fails. The invitations that we sent out this year had this theme. Maybe you've seen them. They said, in a world of rapid change and competing truth change, it's a comfort that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so this afternoon, I'll be preaching about the comfort of Jesus being the same yesterday and today And in a few weeks' time, on September 10th, the same place, Pastor Martin, he's going to continue in that same message with the same text. He's going to be preaching about the comfort of Jesus being the same today and then forever. So our theme text in Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But if we want to understand it, we also need to think about the verses that come around it. So you have them written there for you. In the verses 1 to 7, they tell us that there's some major changes that were happening in the life of the church. And the church, what is the church? Well, the church is God's people. The believers who had faith in Jesus and who wanted to live for him. So the author of the book of Hebrews, he tells the church how they can continue to live faithfully for the Lord, even in the midst of their changes. Now verses 1 to 6, they tell us that God's people are to show true love for each other. They're to be hospitable. They are to remember the prisoners and the hurting. They are to treasure and guard their marriages, and they're to be content with what God gives. And the ultimate gift that the church has been given by God is actually God himself. And God has said, as we have it there, I will never leave you or forsake you. God is with his people. And that's wonderful news. Hard changes may come. Hard changes do come. But God is with all who are trusting in Jesus Christ. Then when we come to verse 7, just before our theme text, we learn of a major change that the church was facing. God had given them great leaders. He'd given them godly leaders, men whose lives were worth imitating. But now things were changing. As will happen to all of us, the faithful leaders, they'd grown old. Some of them had died, and maybe more were not far from death. There's an instability there. So I can imagine you can understand the difficulty. Maybe in your own life, you've even had someone that you looked up to, who you respected a great deal, someone who you wanted to walk with, to follow where they were leading. But whether they moved away or they've since passed away. That's a hard thing, isn't it? Well, for the church, it was a time of change, and it was a time of questions. They were asking, if all these faithful and godly leaders die, what's going to happen to the church? And those are real questions. Maybe you've had moments like that, a major change happen in your life, and you wonder, what's going to happen to me now? Maybe things are changing really fast, and you just wish you could find some solid ground where you could stand on. Well, for the church in our text, things were changing fast. And so the author of Hebrews, he points them to their solid ground. Everything in the world can change, but Jesus Christ never changes. This is a world-changing reality. But to understand why, you need to know who Jesus was and who he still is. So who was and who is Jesus Christ? Well, he's not just another man, or even a really, really good man. He's more than a good example that you should try to copy. The Bible makes it very clear Jesus is fully God and fully man. That means that Jesus is like us in many ways, and yet at the same time, he's not completely like us. We all change. But God is eternal and the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even mountains erode. Cliff faces along the Bay of Fundy, they get beaten back year after year by wind and wave. But Jesus is God, and he does not change. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, okay, I get that, he doesn't change, but what is he like? Well, he's perfect. He's holy. He's perfectly wise. He's altogether good. He's merciful. And he is kind. And he always has been. And because he doesn't change, he always will be. He's the king of our universe. And he cares for his people. If we turn to the Bible, the picture that the Bible paints in the stories of Jesus' life, we call them the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the rest of Scripture too fills in and just shows us who Jesus is. When we look at his life, we see that Jesus felt his people's pains, that he carried their sorrows. He entered into the lives of those around him. Now, for those who needed it, he boldly corrected them. He defended the truth. But he also rejoiced with the rejoicing. He wept with the weeping. As Jesus walked among his people, it's amazing as you read the Gospels to see what he did. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He touched the lepers, those who no one would want to have anything to do with. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He could calm storming seas with just a command and a word. He fed the hungry. He invited the little children to come to him. Jesus ministered to the rich and to the poor. He forgave sins. And ultimately, although he was completely innocent, he died a criminal's death on a Roman cross. But that wasn't the end. Because he was completely innocent, death itself could not hold him. It couldn't keep him, and so he rose from the dead on the third day, and even now he is seated in heaven. There can be no question at all, Jesus loved his people then, but he still loves his people today. In a world of constant change, Jesus remains wonderfully the same. And that's great news for you and for me. But to see it, you need to understand yourself. God is perfect. But when you look at your heart and you look at your life, you know that you are not a perfect person. And that's a problem. We need to be clear, we made the problem. This is our problem. In the beginning, God made mankind good. He even made man able to be good. But we didn't do what was good. We broke God's law, and the world was changed forever. Now we all sin. And often, we should be real about it, we even like our sin. We live in God's world. We break God's laws. You don't need to do something big like steal a car or murder someone to break God's law. The Bible says that even in your thoughts of anger or greed or lust, you are breaking his law. And God calls it sin. And for breaking his laws, we all deserve to be punished. Because God is so good and so just, he can't ignore evil. And the punishment that we deserve, it's not just a slight, soft slap on the hand. Our sin is very serious because the one we sin against is so good and so great. It's so serious that it deserves to be punished in hell forever. As we stand here, we all, by ourselves, we would deserve to go to hell. All of us. And every sin that we do, it needs to be dealt with. Not one of them can just be ignored. Well, does that seem harsh? Is God being unkind? We need to understand the seriousness of our sin problem, because God sees our sin as that serious. We need to know something else as well. Because we sin, not one of us could live a good enough life to be pleasing to God. So do you begin to see the problem? Here we are. We have a sin problem, but you can't fix it yourself. And maybe you're thinking, if that is all true, then what hope do I even have? This is where our text brings us to our hope. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our text, it brings you to Jesus. And there's no better place that you could go, where you have a sin problem that you could never fix, and you have a debt to God that you could never afford to pay. The Bible declares Christ Jesus came into the world to save the perfect. No, he came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. This is the Jesus of yesterday. But no one forced him to come. The Bible is clear. He came willingly of his own choice to save sinners. Maybe you've heard wartime stories about one soldier who bravely lays down their life to save the life of his friends, maybe jumping on that live grenade or whatever it may be. And those stories of love and self-sacrifice, they strike us, don't they? There's something so profound, so self-sacrificial. But what Jesus did in coming to save sinners, it's actually much more profound. The Bible tells us, while we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. Your sin makes you an enemy of God, and you can't fix it yourself. You deserve hell forever. But Jesus came, and by his death on the cross in your place, he has paid the debt that his people owed to save them from their sin. That's a love that's astonishing. It's astonishing then, but it's a love that doesn't change. What does that mean for you as you're here today? We can take Jesus' own words. In the Bible, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is a truth that has not changed. It was true yesterday, and it is equally true today. I think we need to be very clear here. Today, you will often hear people say that there are many ways to be saved. People will claim that all religions are equal. But the Bible, God's word, it's very clear. Jesus is the only way to be saved. He's not just the better or the best way. He is the only way. And until you come to him in faith, you have no hope. You are completely lost. And there's no room for just being neutral. You either are one of Jesus' followers or you're one of his enemies. And that's true of everyone here. And it's true of the entire world. You can't save yourself, and no other religion can save you, only Jesus. But here, the fact that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever gives you so much comfort. Maybe you're thinking, that's all fine, but you don't know me. You don't know all the things that I've done. Jesus can't love me. Well, hear this. I don't need to know what you've done. I don't need you to come and give me a list of all your sins. I simply get to point you once more to Jesus Christ. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus who does not change. Jesus knows you through and through. You're not hiding anything from him today. He knows your every single sin. He knows your feelings of guilt. He knows every sorrow, and yet he is not repulsed. How do I know that? Because Jesus himself says so. In the Bible, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Does that describe you? Are you weary and heavy laden? Are you tired of your guilt and of your sin? Hear the promise of King Jesus from the one who never lies. He is truth itself. It's a promise that goes out to everyone, and it goes out to you today, regardless of what you have done. It's like Jesus stands there with his arms open wide, calling you to come. And it's a promise that if you come in faith to Jesus Christ, hating your sin and seeking forgiveness, he removes your sin. And he will give you what he's promised. He will give you true rest. True rest for today and forever. I want to be really clear here. I'm not calling you today to simply add Jesus to your life, like you would go to the doctor and ask for a prescription and get that filled. Jesus is not just a magic pill that can deal with your anxiety when you're in a troubled time. You need Jesus every moment of your life. He's not an add-on. He's the foundation. We think of who he is as God and man. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. He, as God, he has all the power in heaven and on earth. And he's worthy of your worship. He's created you for that purpose. And in a world that constantly changes, he alone is the unshakable foundation on which you can build your life. And it's Jesus Christ who calls you to come to him today. Come to him today and have life. Not just a taste of it, but to have true life. Maybe life as you've never had it before. You can come to him with nothing at all. Nothing but your need of him. And he will not turn you away. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And he has not changed. The original readers of the book of Hebrews faced change, just as all of you do here today. They knew firsthand the pain of losing a loved one. They knew the uncertainty that comes with a change in leadership. They had rich and poor among them. They would have felt the shift as the Roman emperors, basically whatever they said went, and they cycled from good to bad to downright terrible. The church, they knew times of peace and extreme persecution. But in the face of all of that change and so much more, the author of our text pointed them to the only place that would be of any help. He pointed them to Jesus Christ. Jesus who understands and cares for his people. Jesus who is wonderfully the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus who alone is the foundation that never shifts or fails. It is this Jesus who calls you today to come to him. Why would you wait? Will you come? As you examine your heart today, do you feel overwhelmed? Do you feel fearful, heavy laden, Have you spent an entire lifetime tied to your sin? Or do you know him? Have you walked with him? Have you loved him already with all your heart? To all of us who are here, the invitation goes forward today. You can come to Jesus Christ and live. And if you're here today and you've never read the Bible, or it has been a very long time, let me just say we are glad that you are here today. And we would love to help you begin to read about Jesus and to see for yourself who he was yesterday. But even as you do that, to know that he is the same today and forever. As Pastor Martin will explain to you in a few weeks, this glorious Jesus, who was the same yesterday, today, and today, he is the same on into eternity. He is the same forever. And so here is comfort, and here is stability in our changing world. Though you have a problem that you cannot fix, and everything around you may be changing, and you're just looking for a place to put your feet, you can come to Jesus Christ. Hear and believe, and may you know the joy today and forever of knowing Jesus. Jesus Christ, our King, our Savior, who is the same yesterday, today, and will be forever. Our hope is fixed on him. Amen. Let us come before our God in prayer. O Lord our God, holy and majestic, perfect in every way, we come to you, all of us, needing your grace, needing your forgiveness, needing to be reminded once more of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King who was in glory, but who considered it nothing to come down into our world, to take on our flesh, to become man, and to walk among a broken people, to carry their sorrows and their sadness, to heal their brokenness and their lostness, to stand among them and say, here is life, come to me. O Lord, as we are here today, you know the state of every soul within hearing distance. You know the state of all of us in our nation. Nothing is hidden from you. Though maybe no one else knows what we've done in our past, maybe sins that have remained covered and hidden for an entire lifetime. Maybe there's a voice in our head saying, Jesus could not love me. May you break through by your Spirit and help us to see that there is a Savior who is sufficient, who is love, who has come, and who can break the chains of sin, who can give us freedom and true freedom, who can take our guilt and remove it entirely, who can take our sin and remove it as far as east is from west. Oh Lord, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve the mercy that you show to us. We don't deserve to have you come to us and say, though you have done all that, though you have offended me in every way, I still love you and I want to save you and I want you to be mine and to be with me, not just today, but forever and ever. Lord, you are so good to your people, and your love for your church never changes or runs out. And so we pray for our community, that as a church community here, we would be able to show them what it is to be a Christian, to show that we're not something special in ourselves. We don't have a tremendous amount of strength. We don't have a tremendous amount of money. But you are the God who uses the weak things of the world to shame the strong and the wise. That you are the God who is able to do infinitely more than all that we could ask or imagine. And as we're here today, longing for salvation for our neighbors, longing to see Jesus Christ and to understand who he is and to love him with a deeper depth, to build our life upon him, we ask, would you allow us to go into our community? May they hear, may they see, may we be the hands of Christ here, quick to help, quick to show that there is hope, that there is salvation, and it can be found in no other name than in Jesus Christ, the King who is good and who calls us to come, who is fair and who is kind, who has been good and forever will be, who sees us in our brokenness and says, live, who takes us in our spiritual death and gives us life, eternal life, life now and forever. Father, we pray for our nation. It's no secret that many have turned their back on you, though our anthem still contains words that give you lip service. As we pray to you, even in our anthem, we know that's for so many, they're just words. Call us back to yourself. May you in mercy work in your church, work in our nation, that many may come and hear and believe, that their lives may be changed, that though they may be chained to sin now, by your Spirit you would open their eyes that they could see and they could believe and they would be delivered and they would find life in Jesus Christ, the King. We pray for our government. So few of them profess Christ. So few of them would say that he is the hope of their life. But what they do and the laws they make impact your church. And we ask, would you work in their lives? Would you bring people into their lives who could tell them the gospel? May you speak into their lives that they would see that it is your way that's true and right. And that you are the one who directs a nation, who can bring blessing, who is over all things as the Lord and giver of life. O Lord, work in Nova Scotia. May you stir up your church once more that she would be unafraid to announce that Jesus Christ alone is the hope of the world. That we as believers would have no fear or shame in saying that it's in Jesus Christ that we will be saved. Help us not to point to ourselves, and so often we confess the church has gotten in the way when we have not been faithful, when we have not pointed to Jesus, but we've pointed to methods and we've pointed to morality that is divorced from Christ. Forgive the church, but also raise her up and bring her back to your word. And may you give men who will preach faithfully from pulpits all across our nation, that our country would be changed. And that not just for now, but that as we look ahead to glory, there may be such a joy as we may say, Jesus Christ reigns here. He's reigned in many hearts, and he will reign forever over all things. Oh Lord, you see us now. You know our every need. If there are some here who do not yet know you and who have not bowed the knee, may you work in their heart. May they not have a rest until you bring them to the peace of Jesus Christ alone. Lord, you are worthy of our praise. May you receive it now as we sing, as we pray, and even as we go from here. You are worthy. And to you be the glory now and forevermore. And we pray through our King, through Jesus Christ, the Lord and giver of life. Amen.